Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to focus on the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, covering caregiver support and the future of the hospital and clinics all over the state. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
About the military, they often think about service members deployed overseas. What is unique about the National Guard is their additional roles. During Super Bowl 52, more than 450 soldiers and airmen supported security operations and law enforcement agencies. In 2017, more than 110 Minnesota soldiers and airmen were activated for hurricane relief efforts in Texas, Puerto Rico, and the U.S. Virgin Islands. In June of 2017, the Minnesota National Guard supported the Minnesota State Patrol on locating three missing paddlers in the Boundary Waters canoe area. Also, in December of 2017, we opened our armories to several communities to shelter Minnesotans during extreme cold weather. With a force of more than 13,000 strong, we are proud to serve the great state of Minnesota and our nation.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're dedicating today's show to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and my co-host for today's show is going to be Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA. Director Kelly, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Hey, Tom, great to be with you again. I wish we could do it in our flag atrium just like we did last year. People still talking about that, but, you know, different year, different time, but, you know, that was quite a great event for us when we did this in person last year.
Well, we're looking forward to getting back out there as soon as we can get clear of this COVID-19 and its issues. But, Director, for our listeners, in case some of them aren't familiar with your background, you spent quite a few years in the United States Navy.
Yeah, so I'm a retired sailor. I was 29 years in the Navy and did all the probably predicted or expected deployments and the operational tours and overseas and headquarters. And so I retired in 2011. In my second VA job, I was a director in Sioux Falls for a couple years. And I've been here almost 7.5 years now with this great Minneapolis VA.
And, sir, you retired as a colonel in the Navy, a captain in the Navy. I'm sorry, sir, I'm Air Force again. I was thinking about something else. Captain in the Navy. And you spent your entire career taking care of sailors and running hospitals there.
Yeah, it was great. Really a nice transition. You know, I worked federal health care, of course, when I was in the Navy, and we did health care for the Navy and Marine Corps. And so to transition into health care for veterans was a pretty nice transition for me. I've enjoyed the work, and I still enjoy being around service members. So it's a very rewarding part of the work.
Director, we were together yesterday on another meeting, and has it really been 7 years since you took over as director of the Minneapolis VA Medical Center and the healthcare system?
You know, you'd think they would have fired me by now, but yeah, it's been over 7 years, I had a couple breaks in there. I was over at the VISN for a little while doing some work over there, and I would say that the whole world really changed, healthcare world changed with the COVID. So it's never a dull moment. It seems like it's been a long time, and that's really a long time for someone who's accustomed to a new job every 2 or 3 years. But no, Minneapolis VA continues to have a lot of challenges, and there's a lot of things for us to work on. So over 7 years.
And, Director, we're just about up to 10 years for Minnesota Military Radio, and we've enjoyed having you and your doctors and nurses and research folks on the air so that we can let people all over Minnesota know all the great work that's going on in the Minneapolis VA. But, sir, you've also said that we've been in the midst of a lost COVID-19 year, and I know that's caused some changes to how you've delivered health care this year, some of it going virtual.
Yeah, you know, it's much of what Tom, I would say, is probably here to last, too, so that we have really learned some good things over the course of this last 6 or 8 months. You know, it's been a challenge for veterans. It's been a challenge for our staff. And of course, it hurts to see people struggling with their health. But, you know, we do now probably 60% of our care virtually. We're doing more and more face-to-face care, but we are also learning that a lot of health care can be delivered virtually, and it works for veterans and it works for our staff. Keeps our staff safe, keeps veterans safe. They don't have to come into the hospital. And so think of some things like mental health, which are really pretty natural. You can do looking at one another over the TV. Other things, if you got to have surgery, you got to have surgery. You got to come to the medical center. But there are many, many things we are learning that we have adapted to due to the COVID, which have probably accelerated healthcare in many ways. And so We're going to continue with masks and distancing and screening and all those kinds of things to keep veterans safe. But you know, it is likely that we're going to be at this for really quite some time. And so we're treating it, what used to be viewed as kind of an incident and an incident command episode, this is now really more of a long-term thing. And so we're here to take care of veterans, and our goal is to get every veteran the care when and where they need it on time. And we're doing better at that. We have a ways to go. We had kind of a backlog of work actually to catch up on, but it's going okay. Veterans are doing fine, and we are really proud to serve them in the manner that they want to be served.
We're speaking with Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. And Director, as I think a lot of our listeners know, I'm a patient out at the Minneapolis VA, and I've found that even I can learn. I communicate with my doctor. I communicate with the nurses. I order my prescriptions online. You can do a lot of things online short of going out to the VA Medical Center. And if I can learn, I think a lot of our listeners can learn too, sir.
You know, we have what all of our veterans have probably experienced is that, you know, we are pushing information to them. We have something called Vet Text, so we have your text number, and we will let you know that our flu clinics are up and running, and we'll tell you how you can get the information and where to go. As you've mentioned, Tom, you know, we have something called My Healthy Vet. Order your prescriptions online, talk to your doctor. You know, you can do a variety of things that are intended to sort of minimize the amount of time you have to spend in the hospital and get some of your answers responded to. If it's urgent, you got to come to the hospital. You got to go in and get that care taken care of. But for many, many other things, a lot of veterans are getting accustomed to electronic means of communicating. And so we have taken advantage of that. We'll push you email messages. We'll send you vet texts. We'll do all kinds of things if you're willing to do that.
And, Director, we've touched on this a little bit in the past, but the community care choices you have available are also helpful in getting our veterans to their appointments on time. If you can't get them in quick enough, we can get them out on the community. And you've got a great new partner down in Rochester.
Yeah, thanks for letting me talk about that a little bit, Tom. So, you know, we have tried for years, and we've got a lot of good help from service organizations and county veteran service officers, even the governor, you know, people who've gone down there and tried to convince Mayo that they should be part of the VA's community care network. Well, Mayo has signed up. They are now part of our community care network. There's one slight distinction that I'll draw, and that is the Destination Medical Center, which is in Rochester. It's not quite as easy as all those other sites of care around Minnesota where we have community hospitals and others that are run by Mayo. And just a reminder, all veterans still need an authorization before they report to those places, unless it's an emergency. But it really is a big success. It happened this last year, just within the last several months. Having Mayo as part of our network has really proven to give us one more great community provider where we have very, very difficult to diagnose or challenging patients. It's nice to be able to work with Mayo to get those patients taken care of.
Very exciting development, Director. Director, we've just got a little over a minute left, but during this COVID year, it's more important than ever to get the flu shots. I know you've got a big supply of them, and I think you're going to have some events where our veterans can just drive up and stick their arm out the window and get their shot.
So every afternoon at our community-based clinics, we have 13 of those around the state. Thursday afternoons from 12:30 to 15:30, they can drive up, take care of them right while they're in their car. We're doing that on consecutive Saturdays here at the Medical Center. So last Saturday was our first. Veterans drive up, we give them a shot, we record their information. It's equally easy, and I know you did this, Tom. You know, you got your flu shot out at one of our urgent care partners in the community. If veterans want to go online, www.minneapolis.va.gov, download a simple form, take that with them when they go to that urgent care provider. It tells the urgent care provider everything they need to know, tells the veteran what they need to know. You used it, and I know you told me you found it to be very helpful. So bottom line, veterans, get your flu shots. It really is critical this year, more so than any other year. So whether you get it with us, get it out in the community, please get a flu shot.
Yeah, and it was easy, Director. I just brought my VA ID and downloaded that form, went to CVS, and within about 20 minutes I was out the door and had my high-powered flu shot, the one for old people. And it worked out very well. Director, we're going to have a great show today. We're going to talk about community care. We're going to talk about some construction projects. We're going to talk to some of our people from the regional vision. And great to have you here. We have to take a short break, Director. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we've been visiting with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and my co-host has been Director Pat Kelly, who runs the VA hospital here in Minneapolis and many of the clinics. And Director, how many clinics are you up to now that that are within the Minneapolis VA healthcare system?
So, Tom, we have 13 clinics that we run. Four of them are in Wisconsin. In our state of Minnesota, we have 15. St. Cloud has a couple. Fargo has a few. So we try to cover the whole state as much as we can, make it easy enough for veterans to get to those locations.
Very good, sir. And in this segment, we're going to visit with a gentleman from your regional office, which is referred to as VISN, V-I-S-N-23. Could you explain how that's all organized and how that works?
Well, I'm not sure I can do all that, but let me tell you a little bit about the VISN network. So the VA is divided up, VA healthcare is divided up into 18 geographical regions. And each of those regions has a director. My boss, he works here in Eagan, Minnesota. And in our network, which is Veterans Integrated Support Network 23, it covers the state of Minnesota, Iowa, the Dakotas, Nebraska, parts of Wisconsin, parts of Montana. But that network and that network director have oversight over the hospitals and the clinic that provide health care in that geographical region. And so, again, 18 of those regions, our network director's name is Rob McDivitt. 40 years in the VA, Army veteran, terrific guy, really doing a great job of leading our network.
And, Director, I understand that the 1st of October that there's a new program out that's referred to as the VA Caregiver Support Program. Were there some recent changes to that?
Yeah, we really wanted to get Mike Record and our staff on the show today, Tom, because It's a program that's been around for a while, but eligibility has changed, and some of the eligibility years and criteria have evolved, and it's a big deal for veterans. It's a great program for veterans, and I think between those who have been involved in the program over the years, we'll call them the legacy participants, and the new participants that are eligible as of the 1st of October, this is a great service. It involves stipends. It involves support to those caregivers. Mike Record, who's our VISN guest today, has been with the Minneapolis VA since 2007, has been over in the VISN staff for a couple of years now. Mike did a terrific job here, and so the VISN did what they do a lot. In the case of Minneapolis, they recruited our very best people. Mike's one of them, and so Mike is now running that program for the whole VISN and doing a terrific job.
And Mike, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Kelly. It's very nice of you, too.
Mike, I understand you're the VISN 23 lead for the VA Caregiver Support Program. Can you give us a little background and history on that program?
Absolutely. So the program initially was rolled out as in relation to a law that was passed in 2010 and rolled out in May of 2011. And really, that law really allowed the VA to develop a program of support for caregivers of veterans of all eras. And more specifically, a program of comprehensive assistance for family caregivers that Mr. Kelly was mentioning that provides some enhanced benefits to the caregivers of the eligible veterans.
So, Mike, what we're talking about here is veterans that want to stay at home, but perhaps they're a relative, maybe the wife or some children. Somebody is spending a lot of time taking care of them, depending on their health and how they're feeling. And we can't forget those caregivers because we don't want to wear those folks out either, do we?
Absolutely. That's really our mission is to provide support to those caregivers so they can care for those veterans. And we really wanted to develop a program to support all caregivers and provide those supports. So there's national programs that's been developed. We have traditional services within the VA that's there to help help caregivers provide respite and those kinds of services. And then each VA facility is also developing their own programming and resources specific to their patient population to again, support those caregivers.
We're speaking with the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio today. And, Mike, can you give us a little background? What type of support resources are available for our caregivers that are taking care of our veterans at home?
Good question. So some of those traditional services, such as respite or in-home care, we have programs like home-based primary care, adult day health care programs. All of those are kind of traditional services really geared towards the veteran, but also provide some support to caregivers when those programs are implemented. There's been some national programs that have been developed through the caregiver support program. There's a caregiver support line to help answer calls from anybody and everybody that was rolled out in February of 2011. That program also provides monthly telephone support groups and calls. So partly it's connecting with other caregivers nationally as well as getting some education. There's a peer support program so caregivers can connect with other caregivers who are mentors to provide some support kind of one-on-one. They're either connecting on the phone or online, and some folks are actually writing letters back and forth. And there's some online programs, too, some education programs that have been built nationally. We've really developed that locally, too, at each facility, like I mentioned. There's different programmings for specific caregivers, for specific diseases, whatever that may be needed locally to help those caregivers, provide them support and resources and education so they can care for their veterans.
Mike, can you give us some eligibility information? Who's eligible to participate in the caregiver support program?
So broadly, we have a program called a general caregiver. So it's a program of general caregiver support services. So really any caregiver is eligible for that. They can reach out to their local facility and talk with their caregiver support program staff there and get some understanding about what's available to them locally and what supports are there. For the other program, specifically the one that was mentioned previously, it's called the Program of Comprehensive Assistance for Family Caregivers. So when the program was initially rolled out in 2011, that program was specifically for veterans who served after September 11, 2001, and who are considered seriously injured in the line of duty. So that program is the one that provides the enhanced benefits, including a stipend and medical insurance coverage and mileage reimbursement and mental health coverage, those kinds of things. And we've been lucky enough, more recently, the law that was passed a couple years ago, the VA Mission Act law, which your listeners may be familiar with, has allowed us to expand that comprehensive program to all era veterans. So we're initially starting with veterans who served prior to May 7th, 1975, and that actually rolled out last Thursday on October 1st. So we went live with that, and we are accepting applications for those veterans. In a year or two, we're going to roll it out for those veterans in between 1975 and 2001, and so that'll be the last cohort that we roll the comprehensive program out to.
All right, so it sounds like my fellow Vietnam veterans are eligible. If they're eligible for VA care, then whoever's giving them some support might be eligible for some of these resources. If they are, Michael, what are the access points for obtaining information to find out what resources are available and how they get them?
So I think making connection with your local facility and asking for your caregiver support program, they often have a main number that you can call. There's also some national resources. The website is www.caregiver.va.gov. So that's the national website, which can gear you got a place where you can put in a zip code, and it can let you know who your local caregiver support program staff are. There's the caregiver support line as well that people can call. And then also there's other resources, partnerships in the community, county veteran service officers, those folks that we're continuing to communicate with, as well as veteran service organizations that we're collaborating with and keeping them updated on the expansion of the program. And they can also help gear caregivers towards where they need to go.
Well, Michael, I'm glad to hear that you're at the regional office. We lost you from Minneapolis, but I'm assuming you're there and available to help the program managers both at Minneapolis and St. Cloud VA. And I'd like to thank you for joining us today. And, Director, We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk to your program managers here in Minneapolis and in St. Cloud and talk a little bit more about the Caregiver Support Program right here on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and today's show, we've been talking to the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and our main topic here has been the Caregiver Support Program. My co-host is Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And Director, we had a nice chat with your regional lead for VA Caregiver Support Program. And in this segment, we're going to talk to your program manager from Minneapolis, and then a little bit later, the program manager from St. Cloud. Would you like to introduce the guest, sir?
That'd be great, Tom. Thank you. So Jill Vinge is our Minneapolis caregiver support leader. So Jill has been in Minneapolis for a while. Jill's a social worker by background, and she previously ran our post 9/11 transition program for those veterans that were leaving the military, received health care for the first 5 years or so if they were boots on the ground. Jill and her team really coordinated all of that care for those veterans, younger veterans in most cases, in the post 9/11 transition program. Jill then became our caregiver support program officer when our regional person, current regional person, Mike Record, moved over. Jill does a phenomenal job. We are really happy to have her here in this role. It's a big lift this year with the new program, but Jill is absolutely up to do that.
Jill, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
I was just going to mention that Jessica is also here from St. Cloud. Jessica is the program manager from St. Cloud. Again, St. Cloud is a sister facility of ours. They, too, have their own program. Jessica and her team do terrific work as well. So we are really happy to have them both on the show.
Jill and Jessica, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you.
Jill, we're going to start with Minneapolis because you're right there with the director. I assume that you've had many veterans that are already eligible for caregiver support in the past, and now it's widened as of the 1st of October. Is that correct?
That's correct, yes. So with the expansion, we've had new regulations that have come out too. So we've had a lot of questions for what we call legacy participants, which are those veterans who were already in our program prior to October 1st. So those legacy participants will need to come through to be reassessed under our new regulations. And we will do that, as of right now, the plan is to do that within the next year, likely outreaching to them later this fall or early in the winter. And then there will be a transition phase thereafter into the new program or a transition into our general program if they are no longer eligible under the new regulation.
So, Jill, can we assume that since there was a change effective October 1st, that there was big demand for some additional caregiver support?
Absolutely, yes. We had a huge growth in our application numbers. I didn't write those down right now, but I'll tell you that the amount we get in a month as a visit, we got over that amount in one day on last Thursday, October 1st. And just in Minneapolis, we got 32 applications since October 1st. And again, that's a much higher number than we normally get in a total of a month. But it was a surge that we were anticipating and that we are prepared and ready for.
And Jill, I would guess that in this COVID-19 year, our veterans, especially those that are ill, really don't want to leave the home and go out and get any services. So it's more and more important for their caregivers to get as much support as possible so that they can take care of our veterans.
Right. Really, that's what this program is for, is to really help support veterans get the help that they need in the home to prevent institutionalization, to prevent them having to go to a nursing home or to go for long-term respite care, if you will, in the community. If they have a loved one that can help them in their home, this program is set up to make them successful in doing that as long as possible.
So, Jill, for all our veterans that are eligible for VA care and listening today, if their caregivers need some help and some resources, how do they get a hold of you?
Yes, I'll give you our program number in Minneapolis. That's the best way, is calling our main program phone number, which is 612-467-5405. That's the best way to reach us, and then we can help talk to them about all of the great services we have for all caregivers, regardless of which program they're eligible for. And then if they have questions specific to the comprehensive program, that's one that just expanded, we can talk to them about if they might be eligible and how to apply online.
So that was 612-467-5405, and if you didn't catch that, I'm sure if you go to the Minneapolis VA Medical Center website, you can find information about the Caregiver Support Program. Jill, I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure.
We're talking about the VA Caregiver Support Program on Minnesota Military Radio. And Director, we also have with us Jessica Behrens, who is the Program Manager for the VA Caregiver Support Program at the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System. Jessica, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you so much for having me.
Now, Jessica, were you also involved in the Caregiver Support Program prior to October 1? Did you have a lot of people signed up for that?
Yes, I have been with the Caregiver Support Program in St. Cloud since February of 2012. So have been with the program. It's been about 8.5 years now. And prior to that time, we had about 70 people signed up for the program, which is smaller than Minneapolis, but we are a smaller facility. And we definitely have seen that jump as well in applications since October 1st, which is really exciting.
So if any of our listeners want to apply for caregiver support in St. Cloud, do they go to the St. Cloud website? What's the best way to connect with you?
They can certainly go to our website. Our number or our contact information is on there. But also, like Minneapolis, we have a direct program contact line. And that number is 320-252-1670. Extension 7283, and that will get you directly to our program and connected with one of our amazing staff who can answer any questions and assess for what services a caregiver may benefit from.
So our listeners can go to the St. Cloud VA Healthcare System website and hopefully find the number, which is 320-252-1670, extension 7283. Jessica, I want to ask you, you've been involved in this program for a while. Do some of those caregivers just get worn out?
Absolutely, yes. It's caregiving, I often refer to it as very much a labor of love. Our caregivers, primarily our family caregivers, are caring for people that they care a lot about, but it is work. And so these caregivers oftentimes, out of the love and the work that they are doing, may neglect their own health. They may find themselves more isolated from other loved ones. And that really takes a toll both on mental health and physical health. And so the Caregiver Support Program really aims to help caregivers address those, identify those needs, and also figure out what might help them take care of themselves. So you've maybe talked or heard a lot about the VA's emphasis on whole health. And so we want to help caregivers look at their own whole health and what domains of their needs they might be overlooking in their desire to care for their loved one, their veteran.
So can I assume that some of the resources involve having some temporary help come out so that if they have to go shopping or have to go to the doctor or they have to do something else, that they can take care of themselves a little bit then?
Yes, yes. That would be respite care, and every veteran who has a caregiver is eligible for 30 days of respite care per year, and then those who are in the program of comprehensive assistance, that expanded program, actually have some enhanced respite services as well, and that can be having someone come into the home, like you said, even up to 24 hours a day.
Jessica, you've got to feel really good about helping our caregivers take care of themselves and making sure they don't overdo it, taking care of their veterans.
I am honored that they let us into their families and into their homes to help support them. They are really heroes on the home front for us.
Jessica and Jill, sounds like you're both in the right spots, taking care of our caregivers who take care of our veterans. And Director, that's just another resource available for the Minneapolis VA healthcare system that's just incredible.
You know, one of the things that the VA prides itself on is our motto is really to serve veterans no matter what they need, whether it's a homeless program, caregiving support to those family members who are engaged in caring for their veterans, healthcare services, VA loans. That's really part of the work. And so we are really proud of the work that Jill and Jessica do. it's very important work. They do it very well. And I hope we get a lot of new veterans signing up for the new program, because there's a lot of people who are engaged in this work, make tremendous sacrifice, and really rate some of these services. So I encourage veterans to check into this.
Thank you, Director. We have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some construction projects at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. Today, we've been talking about the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, and we've covered caregiver support. And now we're going to get into my favorite subject with my co-host, who is Director Pat Kelly out there. And Director, we're going to talk about construction projects at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system. And you're not going to, even after 7 years, you're not going to be able to put your hard hat away yet, are you?
You know, Steve Shaleen, our guest, has really kept me well-stocked in hard hats, because we have one project after another. It's really a good thing, but it's sometimes appears a little chaotic or disruptive, but it's progress. And Steve does a great job of leading us in that progress.
And Steve is the Director of Facilities Engineering from 2010 to present. And Steve, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Great. Thank you for having me.
Steve, I understand you've got something in common with the director. You both served in the United States Navy. Can you tell us about that?
Sure. I was a retired Navy Commander, Civil Engineer Corps, 1986 to 2006. Civil Engineer Corps, we do all the maintenance for the Navy bases. We do construction for the Navy and Marine Corps. And our most operational unit people recognize are the Seabees.
Well, Steve, I think the director's probably just thrilled to have you there as Director of Facilities Engineering. And over the last 7 years, we've talked about one project after another with the director. And as a patient out there, I see things improving constantly. But can you give us a quick update? I understand the main facility, building number 70, was constructed as an 845-bed hospital and opened in 1988. Been a lot of changes since then, Steve?
That is, way back then, you know, that is how medical care went. You came to the hospital, you stayed in bed for a while until you were better to leave, but now it's more outpatient care. So as medical health care transitioned, you know, we had to convert the old patient beds into an exam room, which is very inefficient for space. So when I started, we really started focusing on, you know, what's really congested, needed to be fixed, like blood draw, pharmacy, Benny travel. You know, then we got into some of the newer ideas in healthcare. You know, skin cancer with Mohs. We had a Mohs clinic, electrophysiology lab to do some high tech healthcare, replacing heart valves without breaking your chest open. Then hybrid OR for very complex surgeries. I had never heard what a hybrid OR was, but if you walk into it, it looks kind of like there are more screens than in a sports bar. Then mental health, that's a real growing business, so we expanded that. Got into a super clinic up in Ford, Delta, Echo, and Foxtrot. Those are three super clinics. And what's neat about that is they took an old ward and made it into the proper-sized exam rooms. The exam rooms are flexible. It's as simple as if you've got it as primary care, you take the tool tray from the primary care, bring in the specialty care tool tray, it becomes a specialty care room. If you need it to become a mental health room, you take out that tray and you bring in a sofa, so to speak. So it's very flexible and can adapt to how the future changes. And then the VA secretary really made it a priority to switch our 2- and 4-bed patient wards into private rooms. And that's my next big challenge.
So you're in the process of changing out from the old-time wards that we used to see in the World War II movies into private rooms, and that's going to take a little bit of time. We're speaking with the Minneapolis VA healthcare system on Minnesota Military Radio. And, Steve, I want to skip down a little bit here to you've mentioned minor construction a few times. Can you tell us what really does that mean, minor construction, as a term? Is that a size thing in dollar amount? Can you explain that to us?
Sure. So I get a lot of money every year to renovate areas, but I cannot build any new square footage with that. That requires, from fiscal law, special permission from Congress, and there's minor construction, which is up to $20 million, and there's major construction for over $20 million. So we've been submitting projects. It really started with our parking ramp as a minor construction project. Now we have added a women's clinic, primary care clinic, mental health clinic, transitional care, and a 10-bed inpatient ward, all with separate minor construction projects.
And, Director, I know you and I were talking when the parking ramp went up. That took a lot of pressure off the parking lot out there and was something that was needed. But one of the things you and I have been pointing to is a brand-new women's clinic and primary care clinic, which is badly needed out there, isn't it, sir?
Oh, my gosh. You know, so we now treat about 7,000 veterans here in female veterans here in Minneapolis. And so what your listeners are going to see, Tom, is when they come in Veterans Drive, which is the main drive there by the circle, on the left-hand side of the main entrance, we're putting up new buildings for women's health and primary care. And that's going to happen, you know, this spring as soon as the ground thaws. This has been work that Steve has been organizing and coordinating for really years now, and it's going to come to fruition this spring, and we hope to have that done certainly within the year, maybe before next winter, if we can get that done. I press Steve pretty hard frequently on getting those projects done. He usually is able to do that, but it's going to be a suitable place where women veterans can get care from other women providers, in large part, most of their care, if not all of their care, in that same building. That's what women veterans want. It makes them more comfortable in receiving their health care. We're going to break a shovel in the spring, and that's another one of the many, many good projects Steve and his engineering staff have put together for our hospital.
So, Steve, that's a major project, and I'm sure our lady veterans are going to be thrilled when it's done. So hopefully you'll have that finished within less than 18 months. But when we go back to that minor construction, that's just a dollar amount, less than $20 million. But this is a really important project, Steve.
It is. It'll really be kind of one-stop shopping for our women veterans. You know, their population has grown so much, you know, even since I started in the military. And, you know, by 2032, we think, you know, the increase will be, you know, 116% from really when this building was built. So they'll be able to come there. They'll be able to get their exam. They'll be able to get some procedures and all, you know, without having to walk through our other 1.5 million square foot building here.
So, Director, I assume once that building is done, then you move the women's clinic out of building number 70, and that space can be used for other purposes at that time?
Yeah, that's great, Tom. That's exactly what we do. So believe it or not, even though we were built for 845 hospital beds here, you know, we have outgrown our capacity to provide the health care for our over 100,000 veterans who get their health care with the Minneapolis VA. So over the years, we've moved a lot of administrative and support services out of the main hospital. So we have a building over on Cedar Avenue, and we have a lot of staff who work over at Fort Snelling and other locations, for example. And our goal is to get clinical work done here on this campus in our main building and to do administrative work where possible off campus so that they don't have to take up that really critical and necessary clinical space. That's even evolved, though, Tom, now with a lot of our staff are teleworking and are able to telework based on the COVID. So we are doing more and more work either remotely, off campus. All of that means that we can do more clinical work right here on our main campus
and get as efficient as possible. Director, I know that there's since COVID-19, we're talking about some new things, and I saw a reference that you were trying to make the whole clinic negative pressure and capable of helping you handle future pandemics. Can you or Steve explain what that means to us patients?
You know, I'm going to turn that over to the engineer. Steve?
Sure. So when all this started, we do have a number of isolation rooms. Most of them are negative, some are positive, just to help either contain or, you know, contain a germ or keep germs away from a patient. And when COVID started, we had to do that more whole scale. So we would take an entire ward. We'd have to reduct the air handling equipment to make the whole thing negative, each room negative to the whole ward, and then the ward itself negative to the hospital. We did it, you know, in good order, and it's been effective so far.
Director, sounds like your fellow sailor there is one of the men that you have to have working hard for you, because there's always a project going on.
Well, Steve's a superstar. We are really, really blessed to have him on our staff here in Minneapolis, him and his team. We lean very heavily on our engineers here because it is a massive building. It was built in many ways, as Steve had explained, for some other purpose. So to repurpose spaces really has an impact on the heating, vacuuming, air conditioning system, on the oxygen flow, on a lot of different things that Steve and his team really have to think through in order for us to be successful at making these changes. We've had an unbelievable number of great projects over the years. Steve's been with us a long time. He and his team are really first rate.
Steve, keep up the good work, and thanks for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Been an honor, sir. Thank you.
Director, we've got less than a minute left. COVID-19 has kind of messed up the whole year, but we've learned some things, and it's probably going to affect us for the foreseeable future.
Well, I absolutely think so, Tom. And not only here at the hospital, but at home. And, you know, it's going to be a challenge over the winter for all of us, all of your listeners. And I think, I really encourage people to do those things which we now know to be helpful in keeping you safe. So flu shots, hand washing, mask wearing, social distancing. There are a number of things that we can do to make this better. We're trying to do everything we can here at the hospital, but to the extent that veterans get it in the community and bring it to the hospital, or staff do that, we're really sort of swimming upstream. So I'd really encourage listeners to do all of those things we now know, which will help us to stay healthy and to save lives.
Director, always good to talk to you, and thank you for joining us today on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Michael Record, Jill Vinge, Jessica Behrens, my co-host, Director Pat Kelly from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Commissioner Larry Herkey, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we get an update on Camp Ripley and hear the latest on the new Minnesota Military Museum. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.